Hey everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Did you know that we have t-shirts and posters available for you, the listener of the Air Raid podcast? You didn't? Well, if you go to your email and email me, Aaron, at air-raid.net, and tell me what size shirt you want, and if you want a poster, that would be great too. We'll send you one so you can wear it on your body or hang it on your wall. Whatever you do with posters and t-shirts. T-shirts are $15 plus shipping and handling, and they're just great. They've got this like cowboy riding a bomb. It's like Slim Pickens, right? It's fantastic. You're really gonna like it. And then you can walk around town with your favorite podcast t-shirt on, and people say, "Hey, what is that?" And you say, "None of your business. Go get your own." And then they'll buy one. That's how these things work.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
I'm not joking around here.
This is episode 111.
Hail to the king, baby.
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
As sloppier architecture than a Tijuana anthill.
I am your host, Aaron Roden, and,
Alt.nerd.obsessive.
This, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Thank you guys for joining us this week. We've got a great show planned for you. Dean Whitmore of a little band called The Unnatural Helpers from here in Seattle is going to be joining us shortly. They're in Dining Room Studios high atop the Greenwood neighborhood in beautiful North Seattle. You'll notice I may sound a little bit different. I am coming to you from the Roden household in Kitsap County, Washington. This is like a live remote, except it's not live, and it's very, very remote. Back in the rural countryside here in Kitsap County, across the water from Seattle. I am actually recording this. I'm coming to you from my parents' closet. No joke, people. It's late at night, and I'm doing this because I love it, and because I promised last week that this would be up on Sunday. So I'm trying to live up to that promise, but I only have a couple hours left before Sunday is over, and that will make me a liar. I hope you guys have been enjoying your Labor Day weekend. I have, man. Wow. Full of all sorts of stuff. To kick things off, Bumbershoot going on this weekend. We'll have an episode for you next week of, the cast of How Did This Get Made? The How Did This Get Made podcast. Featuring Jason Manzoukas and Paul Scheer and June Raphael. Of course, Paul Scheer and Jason Manzoukas from a very, very funny show, The League, which is one of my favorite shows. One of my favorite shows. Anyway, we'll talk more about that next week. Hopefully that will go up on time. I did Bumbershoot, you know, just to get the interview, and then we raced over to the Kitsap Peninsula just to slow down for a weekend, take it easy, stay here at my parents' house while they were gone on their boat, and just hang out on the beach, take the kid to the beach, which was fantastic today, by the way. It was super nice out there, and everything was, it was just gorgeous weather. I think I got sunburnt on my legs again. Went with the zero sunscreen plan again. If you listen back a couple episodes, maybe it was last week, I don't know, that I talked about, my zero sunscreen plan. which is definitely going to give me skin cancer here, it probably in the near future. But yeah, got a little sunburnt, and but had a great time doing it. Had a great time doing it, folks. It was wonderful out here. Now we did have a plan. Mairead and I had a plan to go on a. By the way, I am so relaxed right now, you guys. I am laying on my back, staring at the ceiling, in my parents' closet, just talking away. Just talking away. I think I'm going to start doing all my monologues like this. This is fantastic. Holy shit. Yeah, so you know, we had this plan to do kind of a date night today. And we were going to take it easy. We're going to conserve on some money. So we were going to go just eat some food and then drop by some sort of store and try to find a copy of Blade Runner on Blu-ray. Because my wife has never seen it. It's not on Netflix streaming anymore, which is really not great. And but it's just a classic movie, right? I mean, those of you who are sci-fi fans, you know, Blade Runner is a classic. It's a total classic. It's up there with Star Wars, I would say. And so Mairead, you know, ended up going into Silverdale this morning. Could not track it down there, which I thought was strange. They didn't have it at Target. And then, you know, later today we were like, well, we'll buck up, we'll go to Walmart in Paulsbo and try to track it down there. No copies of Blade Runner at Walmart. However, they did have 13 copies. Of Chuck Norris movie, oh God, what's it called? The Delta Force. 13 copies of The Delta Force on Blu-ray. Blu-ray, guys. Oh, they also, not to mention, they did have the full Left Behind box set series on Blu-ray as well, which. If for those of you who don't know, that's Kirk Cameron's, whatever, the biblical apocalypse series of movies, and dude, that was what my second time ever in my life in a Walmart, and gotta say, it lives up to every expectation that I've had. It lives up to every photo of weird Walmart people, like that meme, you know, that went around for a while. It lives up to that. The strangest people shop at Walmart. I was so surprised. I thought it was a stereotype, you know, just a silly stereotype. In fact, it is a factual stereotype. I mean, there are some real characters shopping at that place. And we both just felt dirty after being in there. Especially me, because when I was shopping for the movie, I'm going down the aisles. None of the movies, by the way, are in alphabetical order. You just really have to just do some searching, some old fashioned movie searching, which, some good old boys were doing, right next to me. You know, and, I was just standing next to this one guy as he picked up the Left Behind box set. Left Behind box set, and was checking out the back. I don't know if he could read or not, but he was definitely looking at the back. Maybe there were some pictures on there. That's mean. That's mean. I'm sorry. It was just a very bad experience, you guys. And then while he was looking at the back of the Left Behind box set. He just squeezed a huge fart out right in the middle of the store. There were like two other people standing there. They were not fazed by it. But I gotta say, I was kind of fazed by that. I was taken aback. And especially when the wall of stench hit me, I was definitely taken aback. Almost, I gagged a little bit, I gotta say. It was definitely a hot fart. All of you listening to this know what a hot fart is. Those are the farts that you get after you've eaten like 18 chili dogs, right? That's the farts that you get right before you're about to have a major, major problem. And it was so gross. It was so gross, you guys. Just disgusting. Anyway, that was my Walmart experience today. I hope you guys can maybe glean some wisdom out of that story. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm tired. I'm sunburnt. I'm looking forward to another day on the beach tomorrow, and then we'll be back in Seattle, ready to go back to work and join reality. Get back to reality, right? I don't want to go back. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of done with this reality thing. Done with it. I just want to lay here on the floor in my parents' closet and talk to myself in a strange little microphone. Sounds good. All right. This is the Unnatural Helpers. The song you're going to hear is Sunshine Pretty Girls, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with Dean Whitmore of Unnatural Helpers. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Dining Room Studios here high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios is the singer and drummer for that band, Unnatural Helpers, Dean Whitmore. Is it Whitmore?
Yep.
Whitmore.
Whitmore.
Okay. Did you ever get made fun of for your last name?
Shitmore, obviously.
Shitmore? That's a pretty easy one.
That's the easy one.
Yeah.
Bean Shitmore was the... but there's not very many other...
that's really the only place they could take it, right?
Couldn't really get me many other ways.
Yeah. But did that ever bother you?
No.
I don't know.
I always had good comebacks, so...
Really?
Yeah, they didn't want to.
See, you're a much smarter man than
I
am.
I
was... people would just call me, because my last name's Roden. So it was like, it was Rodent.
Oh,
and then one kid...
That's kind of cool. That's punk.
Well, totally, right? So that one didn't bother me at all. But then there was this one time, this kid, Kelly Dickerson,
right,
made fun of me. He said, and it's just the dumbest one. It said, Aaron wrote it to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah, I
dude,
sure
that,
did.
That bothered the shit out of me. Like that one, I don't know why, but that was like the worst. It was the worst because I was probably 9 and I hated girls at that point,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be associated with anybody from the opposite sex.
Right, of course.
And then everybody
About
thought I was gay.
Or you'd started.
Yeah, I was like, give me a girl. Throw any girl at me. I don't care. I don't care. Well, welcome, Dean. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you're in this band. Before we started recording, we were talking a little bit because I got to be, you know, serious with you here for a second.
Oh, no.
I see. I am in love with you. No, this show is actually fake. It's only it's a ruse to get you into my living room. I was not keenly aware of your band until like maybe 3-4 months ago.
Huh?
And
where did you hear it?
I think I just heard it because we are friends on Facebook, okay. And I saw a post of something, and I checked it out, and I was like, whoa, this is good. And then come to find out, you guys have been a band for how long now?
11 years, I just figured out a few months ago.
Right. But tell this story again, because this is actually pretty good.
Well, our friend Brian, who was booking at that time at Gibson House, he now has, the Fun House is his place now, Brian Foss, and he does a radio show.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Great guy, good friend. And
Sonic Reducer, right? Yep. Is that it?
Yep. Yeah. And he was trying to look for opening bands to play with the Evaporators, and me and a couple other friends were there. And
this 11 years ago.
Yeah.
This 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And none of our bands could do it. And, but we wanted to play. So we lied to him and told him that, like, oh yeah, we've got a band we're working on, you know, like, but we'll get it together by the time that, you know,
right,
of the show. So we had to get it together.
And, so it's just a bunch of friends from other bands that got together just to, so they could open up for
the Evaporators.
God, that's so totally awesome.
And,
how'd that show go?
It was awesome. The Evaporators were great. And
how did you guys play, though?
We were okay. We were okay. You know, we were dealing with sort of the scraps and the dregs of our other dead projects and projects that hadn't started yet.
Right, right.
It was a bunch of my old songs. But anyway, so then I took a couple. We did that show and then a party and then we didn't play again. And I think a couple of years later, I was still writing songs and I put a band together for real.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So technically 11-ish years or something, though, which is kind of shocking.
With some long vacations, in between, right?
Just that one long vacation.
Oh, okay.
There was another year that we took off because the band really exploded at one point and there was no more members other than myself. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. And when you say explode, it wasn't like on the scene. It was more of like, and people just
exactly.
went everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Body parts
crashed
all over the place.
And burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad. It was a good version of the band. But.
Yeah. 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 So how long have you been doing this? The music thing, like playing music and doing all that.
Oh man. I think my first show I ever played was probably in 93 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
94. I don't know. And so I've been playing in different bands, you know, for
here in Seattle,
however long that is. Here in Seattle the whole time.
Are you from these parts?
Yeah. The Northwest. I grew up in the beautiful suburbs of, now it's not a suburb, SeaTac.
Oh yeah.
Which is now a city. It wasn't a city then. And then I lived in Renton for, like my junior high and high school years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I moved to the city proper after that.
Right. What was Renton like back then? Was it like everything that Almost Live made it out to be?
It kind of was actually. I don't know. I was kind of more into sports and stuff at that point.
Were you really?
Like, yeah, I liked to, I was into baseball and playing baseball and playing football. But, but then I remember at a certain point I was like, man, I gotta be a rocker or I gotta be a jock, you know? And I kind of hate jocks. I'm going to be a rocker. So
that's a huge spectrum right there.
Right.
That you were standing right in the middle of.
But now I've discovered in my later life that I could have done both. It would have been fine.
Totally. You could have been like the Bo Jackson of Seattle.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I know.
That would have been great.
I know. Now I'm, you know, and who knows what career I, you know, passed up in
major
baseball or whatever.
So have you always been a drummer?
Always been a drummer.
You started out as a drummer?
I tried to play guitar for a while, I didn't really, it was too much work and I was kind of like already sort of pitter patting around on different things. And so I took up drums, cause I could kind of already sort, I could tell I could already sort of play a little bit.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So
were your parents musical?
Yeah, my mom, she plays
like
piano.
Push you into that kind
of
stuff?
No, not at all. I didn't play school band. I didn't. I took guitar lessons for like 2 months, and then like I didn't like that, and then so I took drum lessons for about the same amount of time. And I remember my drum teacher. He complimented me. He said, "I don't know what you're doing, but you have a peculiar style. I like it. And I took that as enough compliment. Like there, I was like, I don't want to take lessons. Like, apparently I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm like a
I'm already awesome.
Yeah, totally. Notes and chords don't mean shit.
Yeah,
me,
yeah. You know? That's it. That's kind of how I felt when I was taking guitar lessons. I would like take guitar lessons like on and off for a number of years in junior high and high school. The guitar teacher would always give me stuff to practice for the week, right? And then I was supposed to come back and be able to play this, you know, Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix or whatever. And I would just never, I never did it.
Uh-huh.
And for that reason alone, I was like, I would have killed me.
Yeah.
Like if I was my guitar teacher.
I remember playing Elvis Love Me Tender on the guitar. And that was the only song I remember actually like completing. And, but yeah, it was just I couldn't get into the, I wanted to rock, you know,
I was
ready to rock. Yeah. I didn't want to learn the notes, you know, so.
Exactly.
Drums were a quicker way to that end.
That's awesome. And did you always like sing too with that?
No.
Cause you don't see that. I mean, you don't see that very often. You don't see the drummer who's the singer as well.
Yeah, I did that. I played in my first band was a band called Welcome. I made up a song and like, I was trying to get it into the set or something. And I realized that I was going to have to sing it. And then I did that one song and then I just sort of I realized it didn't fit with the band. And so I started, making up my own songs and started my own band. So
yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it wasn't, I was happy being just a drummer for a long time. And then,
you're kind of like a Phil Collins. Almost.
No, I'm kind of like a Grant Hart,
Not
a Phil Collins. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think this is over. I'm out of here.
Phil Collins is, he comes up a lot. Who's the other, Don Henley comes up a lot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Don Henley. I always think of Don, whenever I think of Don Henley, I always think of him with like an acoustic guitar or something. Cause I don't know why. Isn't there a couple songs where he would play guitar as well?
And then he did his own solo thing for a long time.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm thinking of.
Not that I'm familiar with Don Henley or anything, but in passing, I've noticed.
Right.
But those two are the ones that always come up. Phil Collins every time, the first time though.
Yeah, pretty much. That's at the top of everybody's list.
Yeah,
but drumming singers.
Yeah.
Do you ever wear the little thing? Do people ask you that sometimes? Do you wear the microphone?
No, I do not wear the microphone.
Aaron, I'm sorry, man.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry.
Glad it's a big joke.
Oh yeah. This is why I wanted to have you on. So when did you start? Because you work for Sub Pop. Right.
I do, yeah.
When did you start working for that company?
I was working in machine shops for like 10 years and I decided I didn't want to do that. So I took a year off or I quit my job, drove around the country, fucked around and for about a year. And then I realized I was completely broke and I went down to the Pike Place Market to get any job, and the Mega Mart was down there, and they just happened to have. I talked to a guy, and I was like, "Oh, hey, I know you. We played a show together, or whatever." And I was like, "If you see anything, let me know." And somebody got fired that day, so I was able to. The next day, I was working down there. It was really strange.
Are you serious?
And I didn't know anybody there.
What year was that?
That was 99.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of still around the time where it was, things were going off.
No, things were pretty gloomy.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was 99? Oh,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It was, I remember being kind of like, do I want to work at Sub Pop? They're like, I don't know.
Cause nothing was coming out. Nothing was coming out of Sub Pop.
There was no successful records.
Okay.
Like, the Murder City Devils were like the one band that we were like selling records, but maybe there was another band called Saint ATN, and they were like an English dance band, and and nobody really remembers them, but some records and stuff.
That's right. 99 was like, that was, Yeah, Limp Bizkit was doing things in 99.
Yeah, and there was like some rock bands and stuff, but that were on the label, but there was no Shins or any of the popular rock bands or whatever. It was
so what did you get hired to do?
Work in the record store.
Oh, really?
So I was just I was minimum wage, and the day that I got offered that job, a machine shop, because I was getting really desperate I needed a job. And so I'd interviewed for a machine shop job, and it was like they were going to offer me like three times the pay and like way better benefits. And I was just like, oh, fuck it, man. I'm going to go work at Sub Pop and see what happens. I don't want to do work in factories anymore.
So you've been working there since 99.
Sloughing around there ever since. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so what do you do there now?
I do sales stuff. I do direct sales.
Oh, really?
So I sell to indie shops and stuff. I buy stuff for the website, and I work with a few bands and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What's it like working for Sub Pop, man?
It's great.
Yeah. It's got to be a great company to work for.
It's
right?
really like, yeah, it's I don't know. Yeah. It's a great place to work. And I've got no complaints. Mm-hmm. Like obviously I've been there a long time, and yeah, I dig it.
Yeah. Do you get free music?
Yeah. Some of it, you know,
what I steal is free.
No, there's, you know, yeah, I don't know. I guess there's some free records in there, but it gives me 8 hours a day where I sit around and bullshit about music. That's been the best thing, you know, you know, you're running into people who are working in music or, you know, bands and shit.
Are coming in. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So there's always, always a topic. And so, yeah, I've learned mass, you know, stuff about, you know, just records and bands and stuff.
Has that helped you? Has that helped you a lot in like having your own bands and stuff?
I guess probably in some sort of way, but
understanding how like the indie labels work and things
sort of like in a business, obviously.
No.
We're not a successful business. Don't follow our business model.
Here's the thing. Any band who is signed, no matter how small the label is, like you guys are on Hardly Art. I don't know, man, any band in my mind that is signed to some sort of label, that label could have one band on it. I'd be like, you've done it. You've made it. Congratulations.
It's been not, I always put up my own records. So with my other band. So, yeah, so it's really nice, you know, in that way. And they have people like they're sitting around farting around and like talking to people about music. And so we get, you know, probably somehow, I'm not talking to you because of that, but there's other things that come about, you know, like because we get to do, I guess, because we're on a label of some sort, you know? So,
yeah. Well, when did that first come around? Like, when did you guys, sign on with Hardly Art?
2009, I guess.
Really?
Like late 2009. And then put our first record out 2010.
Yeah.
With them.
Still, cause I mean, you'd been doing this for so long. You've been, when did you start the band again?
I don't know. 11 years from
2001 or something
like
that.
Figured it out this year. Something like that. Yeah.
So I mean, you've been in the band for a while. You've been in other bands, and when you know, you guys signed on with Hardly Art, was that pretty exciting for you, though?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's still exciting because you know, there's like sort of a, you know, they do their stuff, and like then you know, there's sort of a bunch of activity and stuff surrounding when your record comes out that wouldn't happen if I was to do it myself or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's fun. And you know, there's some goofy stuff you get to do. That's, I don't know, that's different. And you know,
you get to come to dudes' living rooms and
right.
or dining rooms and right. talk to them on fake radio
dudes with their pants off and weird, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
you look
all right. I wish you wouldn't have come to the door with your daughter, because that just made things awkward.
Especially when your daughter was already
right. Yeah. Well, she's seen it all before. That's fine. Well, hey, let's speaking of the record, let's play this. This is off of one of your older records, Girl in the Window. This is by Unnatural Helpers. And when we get back, we will talk more with Dean Whitmore of the band about the band and about a bunch of other things. The murder charges. Actually, we can't talk about that. But we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay tuned. This is Girl in the Window. We are back. That was Girl in the Window by the band Unnatural Helpers. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios is Dean Whitmore, the singer and drummer of the band. Welcome back, Dean.
Thank you, Aaron. Yes,
you're welcome, sir. Let's see. Do you guys do a lot of touring in this band?
We do a couple tours a year, but probably... Now, since it's an album, there's an album coming out.
Mm-hmm. In September, correct?
In September, on the 25th, on Harley Art Records.
You know how I know that?
Because I told you.
Because you told me.
So we'll do some more tours in the next year or so. Mm-hmm. Keep a little busier when there's something to tour behind.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but you've got some stuff planned. You're going to go West Coast first.
Yeah. And we just got a booking agent. Again, we were doing it ourselves for a couple of years.
That's gotta be kind of tough.
It's tough. Andrew in the band, he does most of it. And then, you know, like I'll throw in a show here and there, but
right.
So he's really glad not to be doing it because the further we get away from the West Coast, the harder it is for us. And it's still hard for us to do the West Coast, just, you know, where that's not our professions, you know? So,
right.
So this guy, Todd, is gonna, be booking us. And so, we're going to do a West Coast in October and then we got to go to the East Coast and have a couple other little numbers that, we're trying to put together too. So hopefully we get to go back to Europe and stuff. And we never toured mainland.
You've done a tour over in Europe?
Only in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was awesome. We opened for Mudhoney. So there was always a crowd. And
Yeah.
Except for that, I lost my voice like third show in. And but I couldn't not. Couldn't take a night off because we would lose, you know, it was either 500 bucks about a night, you know, we would lose, and that would just be, I would just have to pay it because I was funding the band totally myself at that point. So I was just like, well, I can't afford to take the night off. So, so it was kind of stressful, but we had a great time. Those guys and those dudes are awesome. And
yeah.
It was kind of the best, possible way for us to tour.
So
do
they still do pretty well over in other countries?
Yeah. I mean, really? We played some smaller shows in Ireland. Mm-hmm. We played, I don't know what the capacity was, probably 500 people or maybe, I think in this.
That's still a pretty good number.
Yeah. Yeah. And where were we? I can't remember. One show was probably about, 300 people or something like that. Uh-huh. But in London it was like 1200. Wow. It was like a big place. Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah. So
how'd that feel, man?
Well, they weren't there for us.
So. Well, so what though? Right. I mean,
but, it was fun.
You're playing with Mudhoney in front of 1200 people.
Totally. And we'd been
in London.
Yeah. And we'd been sort of taking it pretty, not taking it easy, but we decided that show we were going to really go for it and get hammered and like, have a wild night in London.
Yeah.
And
how'd that work out?
We did get hammered and we had a wild night in London. And Andrew, the same guy, bass player, he stage dove and jumped off one of the big monitors in front over the security barrier.
Oh shit.
And knocked the monitor off the stage into the, like whatever that is, a security pit or whatever. That
right,
is.
Right. Yeah.
And broke that and almost didn't clear the barrier because he was kind of falling at that point. And anyways, but it was, it was really, really, really great.
Fun. Did he hurt himself? Was he okay?
He hit his leg going over the barrier, but he's tough. He's a tough guy. So
he hit the metal barricade there at the edge of the photo pit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he's a young, strong guy. So oh, if I would have done it, I would have been crippled for life. You know?
I hope that was at the end of your set.
Yeah. Okay. It was during the Mudhoney.
Oh, during Mudhoney. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, that is so awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty wild. It was fun.
And how are those guys holding up? Do they still party a lot?
No, they're pretty mellow. I mean, they're not, averse to having some bevies, but they're not wild men or anything, they're a good time. They're fun to hang around and stuff like that. But we sort of broke off at a certain point in the night and, we wouldn't carry on.
Carry the torch.
Yeah.
Carry the torch, so to speak. Well, that's pretty cool, man. So you're going to try to do that again?
With Mudhoney, yeah. Definitely. I'm going to bug Mark every day at work. And we're going to try to go to mainland Europe because we didn't get to go over there.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what our chances, we have a couple of, sort of things that offers and things like that, but we haven't really.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing solid.
That would be my pretty much my personal nightmare.
What's that?
Booking like an overseas thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, no way.
Like,
yeah.
First of all, you don't even know if you don't know the venue, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you're going in blind on something like that. You don't know how many people like just walk back past this place on a, on any given day.
Yeah.
I guess you don't really know if you're doing like a East Coast thing either.
Yeah, but you see it on enough bands' routings,
Right.
You
right,
can
yeah,
kinda
yeah,
like
yeah.
go like, oh, I've heard of that place, when it gets DIY, when you're not playing like clubs and stuff and it's just somebody's house, it gets a little bit harder to track down. Like, do people know about this? I don't know.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
But, but for the most part, you can look up a few bands' itineraries and see, who's touring where and like, okay, that seems like that's a place or something. And,
yeah.
You know, the internet's
social, social networking is probably making that, a lot easier.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah. We used to do tours and, in my old band in the, 90s with no, there was no really internet stuff. There was no, we booked it out of, MRR. It was a Book Your Own Fucking Life, who they published that. And it was just people in different towns who put on shows and they would have their numbers and you would call them and you'd,
just set something up that way.
Try to set it up that way. And it was, way more difficult. And hopefully maybe you actually knew somebody from that town and that would be great. But
right. Right.
At that point we didn't know anybody outside of Seattle. So, right, I mean, for the most part. So
yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of going in blind.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my personal nightmare, booking that. I mean, it's already a nightmare trying to book guests for this show. Like, it just...
Why is that?
It's just because you get cancellations all the time. People can't show up. You know, sometimes people don't even show up.
Huh.
Like, you know, and it's, yeah. Here's main problem is that I'm not very good at writing stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep it all in my head, and then that stresses me out more.
So you're fucking it up.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much my fault.
Well.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, except for when the people don't show up. That's not my fault.
Well, you're...
But, you know.
Got to have upstanding gentlemen like myself on the...
I know. Do you want to be my intern?
No, I don't.
You want to keep my calendar for me?
Not at all.
Oh, man. So, when you guys go on tour, how long are you guys going for usually?
I like to go for a couple weeks. That's my... Yeah. But we've done a little bit longer. But, at about 2.5-3 weeks, and I start, like, needing to have my own place to sit down and stare and not be around other people.
Be in a van with three other dudes.
Yeah. And it's a good, you know, we all get along really well.
Yeah.
But it's just like any three other people, I don't want to be around, you know, like for too long at a time. So, and usually it just kind of works out. That's the kind of length you can do the West Coast and less than 2 weeks, and you can do the East Coast, and you know, you can do that in a couple weeks. And, so it just kind of works out that it's kind of about the length. Yeah. We're not super road dogs, you know, like we have jobs and, you know, wives
and families,
kids. Yeah. Well, I don't have a wife, but I have a kid.
So. Yeah. And how is that like going on tour, leaving your kid behind for a couple weeks at a time?
It's a bummer. I wish she could come with, you know, she likes to hang around and, you know, go to shows and stuff like that.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
But, she, you know, obviously can't do that. So I don't know. It's, usually I'm busy enough where I can, you know, doesn't get to me too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, about that 2 week sort of time, I'm like, yeah, fuck this, you know, I just want to like go hang out with my kid and like, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
you know, go to I don't know Fred Meyer or whatever. I'm you know, sick of
right,
sick of,
I just want to go shopping at Fred Meyer,
sick
right
of
now.
Looking at rock people and talking about rock shit and being in rock clubs, and I'm through drinking beer and whatever else. It's like, ugh, gotta go home.
So you and the other guys in the band, you guys all get along pretty well, huh?
Totally.
On these trips and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had any problems, you know. We were friends, you know, before that, and everybody gives each other space, and nobody's, you know, we don't have any, you know, dudes in the band who are trying to get under your skin, or everybody's pretty mellow, and everybody, you know, kind of drinks about the same, and you know, like
passes out
needs
about
the same amount of comfort, and you know, it's just whatever, you know, like we're pretty good with sleeping wherever, whenever, nobody's bitching and moaning, and you know, it's good. It's a good
group. Yeah. Well, that's gotta be a pretty important part of it. Like
definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like nobody's too picky and and nobody's too slow, and nobody's too loud.
Too neurotic.
Or we take turns being loud and obnoxious, you know?
Yeah.
So, so it works out. We've got a pretty good system going, and, we seem to travel well together.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
I kind of figure, like, I had always kind of daydreamed about doing, like, tours in my bands and stuff, but I could just never. Oh man, I think I just realized something. It was probably okay. So like we would always talk about it in the bands that I was in, but we never did it. We never would go ahead and do it. And now I think that's probably due to nobody wanted to be in a van for 2 weeks with me. I think that's the reason.
Could be.
Cause I think I'd go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know you well enough to tell. I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of a neat freak.
Uh-huh.
So everything's got to be in its in a spot. Oh, it's a little bit of an OCD kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's you're already annoying me.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
the only time there's an occasional mutiny threat when those guys haven't, they always quote unquote need to dip their balls into a body of water, and it gets a little serious sometimes if I'm driving and I don't find them a body of water to dip their balls.
Oh,
that's
man.
About the extent of it.
Well, especially if you're in a van like for so long, you're just greasy and you feel a little gross. You need to go bathe in the ocean.
Yeah.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, they do. I'm not as big a swimmer as they are, but
no.
they lakes, rivers, pools. We snuck into pools.
Yeah.
Got thrown out of those pools.
But a late night Best Westerns?
No, we just pulled up to some place in North Dakota and just
I thought you were going to say
we
like somebody's house. Something like that.
No, just decided we were just going to use the pool and get thrown out when they threw us out. And they threw us out and we left.
And then you just moved on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
right.
much.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well. Well.
Yeah, then I got arrested. You know you're not going to get arrested. So.
So the new record is coming out in September. How long did you guys work on this thing?
It's hard to tell. We did a bunch of touring for the last record, and about 2 months or a month and a half later, did about half the songs for the new record. But I just kind of fritzed out, and I can't really work at that sort of pace, and I needed just some time to sit around and stare and
right.
whatever. And so then I got a new batch of songs together. I don't know when it was. I don't know, maybe 8 months later or something like that. Or was it a year later? I can't even remember. I think it was about, 8 months later or something. And then we did another batch of songs.
I would never use you as a booker for me because apparently you just can't. You can't keep dates in your head either, man.
I can't. I can't
see. We wouldn't do well on tour together at all.
That's right.
Ever.
Let's never do it. So then it just took a while just because we just had a laissez-faire sort of. But total, if you probably took all the amount of work and compacted it into when we were actually working, it probably took us 2 weeks. Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
where'd you guys record at?
Recorded half of it at Egg with Kurt Block. And,
oh, cool.
Who did the first record?
Nice.
And then the second half we recorded in Andrew's living room with Eric Randall, who's in the Trashies and the Taco Cat. And
yeah.
I think that's those two bands. And then mashed them together. Kurt, mastered them and sort of put them together and made a record out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you,
both
okay.
were fun.
So, I mean, I know that you, cause you just said that you kind of need your mind time a little bit when it comes to like recording or like writing new material and.
Yeah. Just having space for writing new songs.
Have you always kind of done that? Is that how it always kind of works?
Yeah. I mean, not because we just didn't, nobody, there was no reason to be busy.
There was no rush on it.
There was, yeah. So
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
But so I write a lot, and I found that the pace, the hectic sort of like being busy all the time and having tours and having a recording session lined up, didn't really work well for the, it was just, I couldn't write specifically for stuff, but I can write, every, day sometimes, but like if I have to like be too organized about it, then it doesn't jive well with my brain,
Right. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. 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 You got to give it space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah. The only experiences that I've ever had in a recording studio has been like, weekends, you do 2 days come back next week, do two more days. And it's always like a budget thing too, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like it always comes down to how much you can spend on it and how many hours you can be in there. So
yeah,
it's always been rushed for me. I've never had, well, of course, I'm not in a huge rock band or something like that.
Like, you know? I am.
Like you are. Yeah. Signed to a label. See?
Right. It's nice to, well, you know, I've done it on vacations, you know, but I've taken, you know, a week, you know, to do stuff. It feels nice. It's good. You know, it's good to have the full days and all you're doing is recording. All you're doing is, you know, working on songs.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Like,
get, you know, it's like, you know, 24 hours a day just being able to do it. It's, you know, it's a nice privilege to get every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's switch gears really quick, because it's a very important like topic that we needed to talk about. And you mentioned that you take your daughters
what
to like
it,
shows.
Aaron? Yes.
You take your daughter to shows.
Yeah.
Does your daughter think you're cool?
I think she still thinks she's getting a little more embarrassed.
She's nine, right?
She's nine? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
She definitely thinks my friends are cool. She likes to break free from me and go hang out with them.
With your friends?
Yeah, with my, you know, especially, you know, my girlfriend and her friends.
Yeah. You've told her that you work for Sub Pop, right?
She doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
She doesn't care?
Nah. Oh, she does care, like, if there's some sort of benefit in it for her.
Right.
But, like, yeah, no, she doesn't think, like, going, you know, like, you know, getting backstage or, you know, hanging out with the band, or she doesn't care about any of that. She's like, is there chocolates backstage, you know, then that's cool.
I always think about that kind of stuff, because I want my daughter to grow up thinking I'm cool.
Yeah.
I want to be that dad.
Yeah.
But you got to draw a line somewhere in the sand, right? You still have to be the disciplinarian.
Occasionally. She's a good kid, you know.
She
doesn't make me do that very often. Well, the room cleaning, you know, I've got to do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
But no, she's, you know, I'm a slob too, so like I don't, you know, I don't even make her clean her room very often.
right. Yeah. You can't say anything about it, because she'll just throw it back. Right,
what about
back
you,
at
Dad?
You.
Yeah.
I learned it from you,
I
Dad.
I learned it from you, Dad.
Oh, that's my favorite line. Yeah, I want my daughter to grow up thinking I'm cool, one, and then I want her to be a drummer as well.
Yeah.
Because girl drummers are awesome.
Totally.
Yeah.
If they're good.
Well, yeah.
And then, like, same with sort of like guy drummers.
Guy drummers.
They're good.
that goes.
Or if they're
saying.
Bad in a good way, you know.
Right.
I like those drummers.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
She plays piano.
Yeah.
And
was that a personal choice, or did you kind of push her in the direction of doing something
kinda,
like that?
Kind of gently.
Yeah.
I don't want her to do anything. Whatever she wants to do. She wants to be, she likes to read and, you know, be a book nerd. So that's cool. I don't know, whatever she wants to do. I don't push her in any direction, but if she does suggest something regarding music, I am attentive and, I'm probably more apt to follow through on setting her up with, whatever that musical, want is that she.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I met your daughter, and she seems like a good apple.
Pretty well adjusted.
Yeah. Totally.
So far. She's only nine, though. So.
Give her a couple years, right?
She's in double digits, and I hear it's different ball game.
I'm so not looking forward to that.
Well,
I'm so not looking forward to that. My father-in-law always warns me that it's going to get worse. Because he had two girls, my wife and her sister. And he was like, yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah. Well, they hope so that, you know, they don't take it, you know, personally, that, you know, like they got screwed or something, you know, they
you were
want
just
everybody
a bad
in
parent.
The same. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell them that next time, too.
Yeah. You better.
I shouldn't.
Probably
that's probably
a great
idea.
Yeah.
Well, Dean, thank you so much for joining me, man. So, do you guys, we got to wrap things up here, but do you guys have any shows coming up here in Seattle or elsewhere in the United States?
We have, we're playing Bumbershoot.
Oh, right.
On the 1st.
That's right.
and sometime early in the afternoon. I'm not sure when. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Bumbershoot, Dean.
Bumbershoot?
Little inside joke.
Why is that? It's not inside to me. I don't
know.
No? I'm on the outside of this joke.
Tell us about Bumbershoot.
Tell us about Bumbershoot, Dean.
Why don't we talk about Bumbershoot?
Why don't we talk about...
Like you did on the other radio show.
Right.
Okay. We'll just cut that part out. edit.
And then we have a record release show on the 28th of September.
And where's that at?
At the Funhouse.
Nice.
And
what's happening? So what's happening with the Funhouse? Is it closing?
It is closing. The building, the land and the building got sold. I think it's going to be another condo place with, you know, stores on the bottom, sort of. You
of
know,
course,
same,
yeah. The mixed-use buildings that are popping up everywhere.
Yep. I think it's going to be one of those. Yeah. And Brian is on the... He's lost places before. He was booking at, like I said, the Gibson House, and then he booked in Georgetown at Industrial Coffee. And then he got the Funhouse, and so he's had a good run there. And but he's looking for a new place, so I'm assuming that he will pull that off because he's a determined dude. And I sure hope that it works out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
He's made a home for a lot of bands in town that, you know, needed places to play.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. Well, like I said, man, great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and best of luck in the future with the new record, and hopefully you go on tour again with Mudhoney over in London or something, or Spain. let's say Spain this time.
Spain. They went to Spain recently, and they didn't take us with them.
I know, so that was fucked up.
That was fucked up. On the agenda.
Oh man!
Complain to Mark.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, do that. Do that tomorrow, Monday. Yeah,
I will.
Okay. Well, here is, and this song is off of your new album that comes out September 28th. Is that right?
September 25th.
25th.
Yeah.
It's called Land Grab, and you can find it at hardlyart.com / unnatural helpers, and then probably at your guys's Facebook page or anything like that, you'll be able to find out about it. Right?
Yep. Should be information around.
Yes, of course. Look it up on Google. All right. Well, this song is called Hate Your Teachers. Thank you guys so much for listening. And Why? Damn it. I fucked that up. I fucked that end up. This is the second week in a row I fucked the end up. Have a great week, everybody. This is Hate Your Teachers by Unnatural Helpers. We'll talk to you soon. Again, this is it. It's not for you to decide. It's your teacher.